This is an audio recording of Stephen's questions and Chairman Bruce Teel's responses recorded at the annual general meeting of Australian Foundation Investment Company held the second day of October 2007.
Morning, Chairman. I'd like to speak in favour of Bruce's re-election. Bruce is the doyen of investment management in Australia. He doesn't have too many other commitments. I think we're very lucky to have him and his leadership. My only criticism of Bruce is that he hasn't very politely counselled Stan Wallace that now would have been the time to retire. I just don't think it's a good look that we are Australia's biggest listed investment company, you know, $5.8 billion of assets. We cast judgments on every other company we invest in, yet we continue to house a director who, you have to say, based on performance, that in the chair at Coles Myer, a disaster, in the chair at AMP, a disaster, even in the chair at Amcor in his last years, not particularly flattering. And I just think that we need to have be sensitive to perceptions here. I've no doubt that Stan Wallace is fantastic. He attended 33 investment committee meetings. He has a vast amount of experience. But it's not a good look, Bruce, to have a director who has had to leave every other board. When he left AMP, he didn't take his retirement package. Such was the sort of controversy about the performance and how AMP shares had plunged by 70% on his watch. But I just don't think it's appropriate that we have Stan on this board. And I think it's the chairman's role to counsel on these sorts of issues. And I think that's the one criticism I've got of Bruce. Apart from that, you know, I hope you do serve the full term, Bruce. And just one other very quick supplementary question, which goes to independence. Since Don Argus joined the board in 99, has AFIC voted against any single resolution put up by the BHP board? So has there been a single time where this board up here has said, well, Don's on our board, Don's chairman, but we've taken a view that the remuneration report's wrong, or these options are wrong, or we don't like the merger with Billiton, and we've voted against? So is there a time you can actually point to where you demonstrated your voting independence from Don sitting on the board? Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. Thank you for your comments about Bruce. Bruce, would you like me to comment on Stan and Don, or would you like to do that when they come up and do everything?
Oh, I think it's good while you're on your feet, Terry. But if you miss something, I'll add.
Thank you. Well, first of all, with Stan, as a fellow director, he is a very worthwhile director. He operates out of an office on the investment company's floor, participates fully in all of the meetings. Don has had Stan has had an excellent business career, so understands a lot of the companies that we invest in. I happen to believe that what Stan, I guess, orchestrated, for want of a better word, at the AMP, if you look at sort of what's happened since, has been a very good thing for the AMP in terms of the management changes. You and I might disagree on that, but certainly in recent years, the AMP has performed very well. On the question of Don and BHP, no, I can't remember us voting against any resolutions with BHP. I've been a director for 30 years. I can't remember us voting against them prior to Don's appointment anyway. But so the important thing is that when these things come up, people with outside boards like Don and Kathy, do leave the room. We sort of talk, but we also use the professional services of people like ISS that give us a professional assessment of what they think on the various resolutions, so that it might be embarrassing, I don't think any of us would hold back from telling either of them if we disagreed with any of the resolutions.
Chief, could I just add a little bit? I think this came out at yesterday's meeting too, that we do take the proxies very seriously. Sometimes we refrain from voting. Sometimes we vote against. I'm not talking about BHP specifically, but normally the first sort of thing we try and do is more behind the scenes, communicate with the company, I think I was saying yesterday at the Jerry meeting, often the chief executives of companies come to see us, and I think we feel probably more that it carries more impact if you are speaking as people come through. And I mentioned BHP, and I don't think Don will be embarrassed because he's not there when we talk about it, but we have been known to say something about bigger dividends, and we have been known to express views about tax-driven buybacks. So I think that just fleshes out the answer a bit too. But the question, the question of their dividend payout is not part of this meeting.
Two questions for Don. The first one is, Bruce, you made the comment at Jerry yesterday that the market's boom times can basically be explained by the resources sector, and it's been a totally resources-driven boom. And Don's the chairman of BHP Billiton. No one in Australia has a better view of the boom, China, etc., than Don. So my question to Don is...
Don's not open for questions, but...
Well, Don's up
I'll
for okay. All right. Well, Don's up for election, so he's just presented to us. I hope he can answer this.
It's not ready for interrogation, but I think
it's good for the chair. Jim, you deal with it as you see fit. I'll ask the question. How did we miss the super cycle? I mean, Don, how did we miss the resources super cycle? Why are we zero weighting Oxiana, Zinifex, Fortescue, Newcrest, all these companies which have absolutely boomed? We've missed it, yet we've got the guy on the board who's at the epicentre of the resources boom. So does the chairman of BHP not believe in the resources boom, or does the chairman of BHP not have the persuasive powers to get his way on our investment committee? Well, it's an amazing contradiction that we're not long resources when we have the guru on our board. And I just think that's amazing. And I'd be interested in an explanation for Don.
Well,
from Don.
Very similar to the answer I gave you yesterday at the Jerry meeting, in the sense that we have to look at our whole electorate, and most of our shareholders, you're a bit younger than the average, I think, but in these meetings we say, well, what are we on about? We're on about security of income and growing income streams and trying to match them with a breadth of investment portfolio, a spread of risk. And as such, we have had a policy, and we'll go on having the policy, of mainly focusing our investment on those companies that do, or in the short term will, in our belief, produce a good flow of dividends, and so that we can pass them on to the shareholders. And I think the answer I gave to you yesterday was, that's why we've tended to focus on BHP, Rio. We believe the story, and in fact, in our, if I look at our weightings, as it were, vis-a-vis the index, and that doesn't totally drive them, we are overweight resource, and we are overweight in the oil and gas sector. But our focus really has to be on the ones that where we think there's going to be security and growth of income in the not too distant future. So one of the big problems for us is I think we've got about 10% of the portfolio in BHP. And the index weight's a bit higher than that. We're not going to slavishly follow the index, but that's how we think it's appropriate in a company like this to follow that trend. We do believe it. We're very strong on that section, and but that's how we have slanted it. I think it's a matter, Stephen, of trying to properly judge the risk-reward profile that is that properly represents the electorate. That's how we go about it.
Okay, thank you. And just one last quick one. I think it's fair to say that the biggest management appointment blunder we've seen in Australia in recent years was the appointment of John Fletcher to be the CEO of Coles. We've seen it in today's papers where he's so embarrassed he's given back $1 million of his bonuses. Now, there's been a contentious debate in the press about the scenario around which he was appointed. Solomon Liu has claimed publicly in leaked letters that Stan Wallace, the then chairman of Coles, told his board that he'd checked out John Fletcher with Don Argus, chairman of Brambles, given that Don was the chairman of Brambles when John Fletcher was the CEO of Brambles. And then Solly wrote a letter to Stan Wallace back in 2002 in which he claimed to have rung Don, and Don had said, no, Stan never spoke to me. Now, I find that amazing that two guys can sit together on the AFIC board, and they were there together at the relevant time, and it would appear, if you believe Solomon Liu, that they didn't have a discussion about whether John Fletcher was any good before he was appointed to be the CEO of Coles. Now, we have a $160 million investment in Coles. It's our ninth biggest investment. So my very simple question to Don is yes or no. Did you have a discussion with Stan about whether...
The resolution is whether we re-elect Don or not. Well, with all due respect, it's not the meeting, the business of this meeting.
But Terry, if
but the other thing I would just say is, doesn't that say, if that were true, I have no idea about whether it's true, doesn't it prove we've got very good corporate governance?
You can argue that, but I think... Chairman, I'll tell you why this is relevant. If Don recommended John Fletcher to that job, there's a few of us who might vote against him today. Yeah. So we're regarding it as material information for how we vote on this resolution. So I'm offering the opportunity for Don to say yes or no. Did he recommend John Fletcher to Coles as Stan Wallace told his board at the time? It's a very simple question, and
speaking to the motion, I just say that's our board, and I'm not going to ask John that. It's not the business of this meeting. If anybody wants to make their decision based on those sort of rumours, that's their right, but I don't think it's our business. Well, adding your point, Steve.
In 20 seconds, I think it's important that this meeting sends a message to AFIC that, firstly, directors should turn up when they're up for re-election. Secondly, they should answer questions, and Bruce has protected Don against that. And thirdly, AMP dropped $10 billion in the UK. It was the largest destruction of Australian capital in history. Stan should not be sitting on any public company boards after that episode. He was on the panel that selected George Trumbull, which was a disaster. He took over as chairman in 2002. It almost went broke.
30 seconds.
Okay, so I'm simply putting the case that I think shareholders should send a message to AFIC that Stan should quietly retire, and we should vote against Stan's re-election today because we are not in a position to reflect on other companies when we are housing the chairman who has arguably the worst record of any top chairman in the last 15, 20 years in Australia. Thank you.
Well, I don't think I'm going to go down that path, except to say, in my opinion, this is an opinion, Stan probably did more to rescue and turn AMP around than anybody ever knows. So, but people are entitled to their opinion. That's why we have these votes.
Well, Chairman, I'd like to actually speak in favour of this resolution. I think we're all a bit obsessed with executive pay in Australia. These resolutions are nothing like Wall Street. Wall Street, they get tens of millions of dollars. It's unfair to say this is Wall Street meets Collins Street. I think it's a little bit disappointing that the greatest angst in the meeting is against incentive payments for our investment team when they're actually modest compared to other places. And a pay rise for directors, which is not going up to the cap. Bruce has given us his word on that. So I think that we've got a quality board, Stan Wallace aside, and and we should take them at their word and vote in favour of this resolution. They deserve to be paid properly. You don't get the chairman of BHP turning up 33 times a year to investment committee meetings if you pay them peanuts.
So I don't know any other board which has their directors fronting weekly for investment committee meetings. We're lucky to have that. I think the other point to make is that this board has a lot of shares in this company between them. They are very heavily invested, which is a good sign. So they rely on the dividends, like a lot of us do, as well as their board fees. Now, in terms of the proxies that were flashed up before, if I read that correctly, it was 60 million in favour and 20 million against. Is that correct?
Yeah, they're there.
Now, that is a tiny turnout. I mean, you've got a billion shares, and you're saying that only 8% of all shares on issue have voted. That is a really tiny... I mean, in percentage terms, this is one of the biggest protests you've ever suffered, and I think there's a message from that. But I'm amazed that literally is only... 2% of the stock voted against you. So why is the turnout so low? Is that just because the shares are so widely held by the 80,000 plus shareholders? And if that's so, is it also the case that a majority of the shareholders have opposed this? So I suspect what's happened here is that a lot of the small investors have said no, and a few bigger investors have actually got you out of jail on this, and you could have actually suffered a defeat. Potentially. So do you have the numbers on the number of how the shareholders voted to supplement what you've given us there in the proxies?
I'll ask the server in a minute, but one of the comments I'd make, Stephen, is that Epic is a bit different to the other companies in the market in the sense that there's virtually no major institutions on our register. There are some there via nominee companies, but you don't get the big blocks of institutions. However, have you got the information?
Well, just in terms of the number of people voting, we've got 964 million shares on issue, and obviously shareholders are holding about 112 million of that 960. So it's probably of the order of 12 or 13%. So some people obviously didn't vote on this resolution, they voted on another one.
15% of shareholders voted, representing 12% of capital.